Randy, do you age? No.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, you look the same as you did many years ago.
Oh, you man, just... thank you. Yeah, I turned 60 this past
Seriously,
summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, let me bring Paul Thompson in here because, you know, not the legendary, just the as Matt Allen said, the famous Paul Thompson. Now, yeah, right, in my own mind. I just want to say we are right now at the world-famous, and this is a world-famous, Cloverleaf Tavern Pizza on 6th Avenue, and this place is historic. The best pizza in Tacoma. I mean, when we would run any kind of a survey, a poll, this place comes out number one, ahead of everything. I mean, in the entire Seattle, Puget Sound, Tacoma, Everett, Bremerton, you name it, this place is number one.
We're sitting at an original table, Paul.
We are. In fact, this is where Art Popham used to do his Friday night show, right where we're sitting right now.
Oh, come
so, folks,
on, no,
I am telling you the God honest truth that this is where Art would sit because I was in here with him. I don't know. And we have Jason Remington. Jason, can you back me up? Puget Sound Media is here, baby.
I remember the Art Popham show, yeah.
And it was, honestly, it was right here. He'd be here every Friday night doing sports, doing whatever's going on, talking about the world, the fabulous Rainiers. I'm not sure that they were the
promoter.
Tigers.
He was a great promoter.
He was, and he was on, I believe, KTNT.
Well, he was on KTNT for a while. I think he went to KPMA.
Really?
After that, it was sold to KTNT.
Well, when I was working here in Tacoma at KTAC, 1980. Art was on the air, and that's this is where we hung out, man, with Sugar Bruce Cannon. We would come over here, all the guys. I would say a lot of names, but everybody's revolved. Dave Christensen, Greg Cook, Dan Moore, Dick Haugen. We're going to go down memory lane through this whole thing, and after a couple more beers, I'll remember a lot more.
Okay, let's do a little round table here, Paul Thompson. Star 101.5, Jason Remington. So nice to finally meet you in person with Puget Sound Media. How's everything going?
Going great. I enjoy the doing the blog and getting the input from people like you, Randy, and Paul, doing the great interviews. And I appreciate you letting me put those on the blog.
Let me tell you something right now. I love the site. So much information. When I found it, it was SeaTac Media. And then he changed it to Puget Sound Media. And why did he do that? I'm not sure.
I don't remember why he did that.
Well, let's, for those that haven't been there, let's have an overview at PugetSoundMedia.com.
It's basically based on the old Victor Stredeke columns from the Seattle Times. It's a history of radio and television in the great Puget Sound area. And we get input from all of our readers, Randy and Paul and several of the old timers. I think it's a lot of old timers that are checking in every day on the website. Those that grew up listening to radio, got into radio, maybe not just fans, but they remember the way radio used to be, and they love it, and it's a memory maker.
You've really built something on this PugetSoundMedia.com. Can you think back? What was your very first posting?
I was trying to figure that out the other night. It goes back to 1998, and I was in Arizona at the time working on a website called Phoenix Radio Dial. And I did some research, found a lot of information, and got it going pretty well there and got some followers. Did that until I was ready to come back to Washington, got back up here and decided I would pick it up with Seattle and Tacoma radio and television history. So did the research, started getting some old Victor Stredeke columns, and he sent me quite a few. He picked up on it.
Yes, Paul.
I just want to mention that when he was in Phoenix, he was on a really cool radio station.
I've heard of that station. I think it's Cool FM.
It was the original Cool FM. Great call letters, K-O-O-L. You can't beat that, but it's difficult to say K-O-O-L. K-O-L is easy, but K-O-O-L is difficult to say. So you just say cool.
I wonder how Burl Bear would say it. K-O-O-L. K-O-O-L.
Cool, 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 cool. Cool. Yeah.
That was a good interview with Burl. I wish you had a little more time to spend with him, but that was a good interview. I appreciate being able to use that also.
Yeah, I hope to do a follow-up actually with Burl and get a lot more questions. And we've been talking on your website about all the names at KUJ, and I never got there. I wanted to talk about all the weird names that, as we know, Jim Kelly gave the DJs, and thank God I didn't go there and go.
What was it? Was it Jim Kelly?
Jim Nelly. Jim Nelly. I may have been the teeny weeny Paul.
But instead, one of your first gigs after interning at KJR, and you, Nick Scott here. Hey, buddy.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hey.
So
I'm glad I'm not one of the old guys, because Jason didn't reference me, and I'm not one of the old guys.
Well, this goes back to one of Paul's first jobs. Paul Thompson, teen idol.
Literally
said that on the air, Paulie. PTTI. 7 o'clock, let's rock.
That was the man, Rich Daneker, actually laid that baby on me. And God bless him. Yeah, God rest him. Yeah. R.I.P. on Rich Daneker. The beautiful Richard D. Believe me.
The friend of those who want no friends and part-time dressmaker's dummy.
Yeah.
That was his moniker.
Listen, if you don't like what you're hearing here on this little podcast, you know what? Write yourself a letter and send it to yourself, Jack. That was what he'd say on the air. And he says, hey, listen, you're listening to us. Look at your stereo. It has a dial. Use it if you don't like what you hear.
Richard D would get a caller complaining something on the air about KGHO, and it says, he goes, does your radio have an off switch? Well, yeah, use it. PugetSoundMedia.com. This is the
I love the site, by the way. And let me just say something else. Stephen Smith does a fabulous job.
Isn't he great? Stephen Smith is our editor at large, and he has feature stories that he'll do every once in a while. And they're fantastic. Good read.
Was he a station owner or how?
He owned KBFW in Bellingham.
That's why. Okay. So, and did he also work at KPUG, because we hear so much about?
I believe he did. He's got a lot of background history on KPUG. So I think he had something to do with KPUG also.
Amazing. Well, we love what you guys do. Oh, and I want to mention one other guy, and he's not with, and I think he almost died. Mike Cherry from Canada?
Well, Mike Cherry had some health problems. He's doing well, I believe, now.
Touch and go for a minute.
I think he's doing well, and Mike has some great stories on the blog. Fantastic. That is the type of input that has made the blog what it is, really. I mean, we could put out Victor Stretke column every day, but we've all read them. And I think when you read a Victor Stretke column from the blog, you remember where you were, possibly, especially if your name was in that story back in the day, if you were lucky enough to get your
name. Can I mention this? I think it's a labor of love, actually, for Jason.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the work he does and the amount of work he puts into it. And the fact that we have that, because I used to just read the radio boards once in a while. And, oh, my gosh. I love the radio board, the Seattle one. But how many radio people are actually – I mean, Kelly. I know Kelly. I know Eric Dawes. I know a few of the people that contribute. But for the most part, I mean, I love you guys. But you need to get over on this site and get involved with Puget Sound Media. I think you'll like it a lot more.
Right. Mix it up a little bit more over here at Puget Sound Media. And I do check the radio discussion board. There's some conversation going on over there, but there's a lot of fighting going on. We tend to be a little more laid back at PSM. We don't do a lot of sniping at each other. There are a lot of pros that visit the site, and there, as I said, there are a lot of fans, and everybody's welcome.
Well, the thing on these radio boards I found, and you and I talked about this, Paulie, there's a lot of folks that have never cracked a mic, but they can tell you how to run a radio station, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's continue our roundtable. We have Nick Scott, KELA News Director,
thunderous applause.
Heritage Station in the Twin Cities, Centralia, Chehalis. And, Nick, welcome to this roundtable of the radio conference call. And you got some stories, I know, about working with Paul. You were the first all-nighter at KGHO, September 77?
We never had conference calls back then. So how did we do that? How did we communicate?
I mean, can I just mention, this is a guy with a really great announcer voice, by the way.
He sure does.
Use your radio voice.
I learned it from somebody. Well, I got to take a step back. I had taken a job very reluctantly as a youngster in Eastern Washington in Pullman. Country station, Rock FM, remember the old automation system with the big 10-inch reels and the buttons on the front, you know?
I think KDUX had the big carousel. Okay. What a waste of 100,000 watts.
Right. So did the morning show on this country station for, oh gosh, about 2 months, and realized I was just not set up to live in Eastern Washington, the Wheat Hills and all that was there.
Transmitter 4 feet from you, no AC.
The summertime was just, you know, really unbearable. So I knew I had to leave. And so I started applying, as we all did. You know, when we wanted jobs, you know, we just start, you know, going to the, you know, the columns, the Gavin Report, and all the different resources that we had to look for job openings. And there was a job opening at a rock and roll radio station on the coast, and I'd heard a lot about it, and I wanted that job. I'd almost worked there for free, Paul, to be honest with you. So anyhow, I applied for the job. I find out that they had never had an all-night disc jockey. They signed off at midnight. But it was a hot top 40 station, and I just wanted to be a part of it. You know, I was still a youngster, and I was listening to the music they were playing. So I applied, got a phone call back, negotiated a salary, and couldn't wait to pack my car and get the hell out of Eastern Washington and back west, you know, where I grew up. And settled down, got myself a $60 a month apartment at the time. That's about all I could afford with the income that they were paying me. And a day or two into relieving the 6 to midnight guy, Paul.
That may have been me. And by the way, it was a loose time. If I was feeling good, I'd go till 1, maybe sometimes 12:30. Never stop before midnight. But a couple of times I went on till 3. It just depended upon what the folks brought by. You know, I'm not going to say anything. But, the bigger the case of beer, the better.
Well, you didn't offer me a case of beer. I wish you would have at the time.
I'm sure they brought one by for you.
Well, I wasn't old enough to drink at the time. Maybe you were.
Oh, that's right.
But you didn't offer me that. But you offered me a congratulatory thank you. And I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't know what I'd done. I just arrived. And you said, you know what? Thank you for taking this job and negotiating that $500 a month salary, because I just got a $100 a month pay raise because of that.
I was making $400 a month.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? Back in the day, I got to tell
you. What year was that?
1977, September of 77. And I got to tell you, my paychecks after taxes were $201 every 2 weeks. And I had a $60 a month apartment. And at one point during my year there, I bought a car. And my monthlies on my car were $151. So I paid $151 and $60. Barely out of one paycheck, and then my second paycheck was for electricity and food and I guess we did a little bit of 420.
All right, so this is the radio station on the coast, KGHO AM and FM, coming up through the early days of KHOK before it was KGHO. Steve West, Stan Foreman, Gary Crow was there. A great lineup leading up to this, and when
we didn't mention us.
Oh, I'm getting there, Nick. So Steve Larson hires you.
Yes.
You saw Steve a while back.
And Steve, yes. And Steve and the GM at the time, Buzz Barr, God rest his soul. He was the general manager at the time. But let me tell you, it was fun. It was fun coming in and playing the rock and roll. Paul had his fun between 6 and midnight. I won't tell you what happened after midnight when I was on the air, but I would go back and pull the vinyl out of the back office there and throw some live albums on, and just sit and enjoy and crank the music, and basically had a public stereo system, because people realized that they could come to the station, listen to their hits, crank the volume on the speakers in the studio, and they could hang out with a world-famous DJ like myself.
This was back in the day when the jock could choose his own music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, we had the hot, top, 40, so to speak, if you will. And then we had recurrent music, which had just fallen off the charts, and we had up-and-coming stuff.
Let me add, though, Jason, after about 9:30 at night, I did whatever the hell I wanted to do. And I'm serious, man. I would go back through that record library, because we had the records on the wall.
Yeah, right.
And you had to pick a – there was a stack. It was a big pegboard, and there would be some real crap. And, people would steal. They'd put all that crappy stuff.
Like this song is playing right now.
What song is that?
I Want You to Want Me.
Oh, no. Lobo, baby. Lobo.
Heard before this, I heard 1972, Mouth and McNeil, How Do You Do? It was wrong right before.
One of my first girlfriends, baby. And before that, it was December 1963. Let me tell you about On Top of Aberdeen Hill with one of our listeners. No, I can't go there. But you know what? I was never married down there. Okay. Anyway, Jason, you have another question for him?
Well, this was back in the day when you could choose your own music and then invite listeners to the station from the sounds of it.
Okay.
If they were wearing a bikini, maybe.
Quick story. I'm on the air, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And a couple of cars pull up in the parking lot, and we never locked the door back in that day. We just, if somebody walked in the front door, we didn't care. And a few friends came in and hung out. They wanted to check out the radio station. All of a sudden, my request lines were lighting up, and they always were back then. Remember, Paul, the request line was constant. So I pick up the line, KGHO. Hey, understand there's a party going on down there. And I'm going, where'd that word get out? So immediately I had to kick all my friends out. They left the beer cans in the parking lot, and I got in trouble for that, by the way. That's just one story of many. I could tell you one more. So I'm working the graveyard shift. It's about 3:30 in the morning, and a car pulls up. And you could see, from the picture window from the studio that somebody had pulled up. But back then, you didn't care. You weren't concerned with who was there, who was coming in, who was visiting. So somebody walks in, and I've never seen them in my life. Name's Jimmy, looking for Charlie. Charlie's the morning guy. He'll be here in about 2.5-3 hours, right? He's certainly not going to be here soon, so come on back. Okay. So he leaves and comes on back. Jimmy used to own the old Interstate Tavern as you enter Aberdeen. I think he still has some interest in Mac's Cigar Shop that still is open downtown.
Let me tell you, Buzz Barr hung out with Jimmy. He's always talking to Jimmy when he's doing his oldies show at noon. Jimmy owned that bar as you came in, the first one right there, Wishcom Mall. I think it was called, you said the Roadhouse?
No, the Interstate, I thought.
Interstate,
yeah.
Whatever the heck. Jimmy, oh my God.
Yeah, so anyhow, Jimmy comes back about an hour later, and I'm going, I told him Charlie wouldn't be here for 3 hours. So Jimmy comes back, and I'm on the air. I'm announcing an Alice Cooper hit or something. I'm spinning vinyl, right? I'm doing today's, disco, nightclub work, right? Spinning vinyl. And so Jimmy comes on in, and he's doing something on the other side of the counter. We had kind of a little horseshoe set up with the console, the turntables, and the music around us and whatnot. And I had no idea what he was doing over there. And I kicked the mic off, and not a second later, I have got beer spewing all over the studio. Luckily, I had a countertop that had blocked a lot of that. Otherwise, I probably would have been off the air because it would have probably gotten into the electronics, right? But Jimmy had tapped a pony keg on the other side of the counter, and that was for Charlie. That's what he was bringing Charlie, the keg that he owed him.
Just a little something to get him started in the morning.
So Charlie gets there about an hour and a half later, and I'm trying to sop up all this beer all over the place after we get, you know, the taps properly seated in the keg now. I'm telling the bar owner how to seat a keg because he did it wrong the first time. Beer all over the place, literally. So the manager and the programming director is going to be there shortly, right? And so Charlie finally pulls in at a minute till six when he went on the air. And I said, Charlie, your buddy Jimmy, I don't even know the guy, brought in a keg. Told him to get it the hell out of here. This is what he left. It smelled like a brewery in the radio station. I packed up, went home. Again, I'm making $200 every 2 weeks, right? I'm fearing for my life I'm going to lose my job over this radio station smelling like a beer joint.
Let me mention that Ernie Winnicall was a very generous man.
Right. So I went home and slept. And the irony of the story is I never heard another word about what the station smelled like, who tapped the beer overnight, who was in here. It smells kind of funky. Nothing came back to me, and I just kept my lips shut. So I learned the moral of the story is when something bad happens, you may want to consider keeping your lips shut.
Now, if I had known there was a party going on out in Aberdeen, Hoquiam, I wouldn't have gone to Texas. But
I must say, I did not drink any beer while I was on shift. The beer was everywhere else, but not in my system.
Jason, I got to tell you, you missed your calling. Aberdeen Hoquiam was Pullman West, wouldn't you guys say? I mean, it was amazing. And there's so much more done.
Without all the good-looking university chicks, though.
You know what? There's a lot of talent in. Hey, listen. If that's you, by the way, love you.
I think there was and we certainly can't use any last names, but there was a Michelle that I think we all knew.
And a Helen. And I did have a friend. I got to tell you this one now. I did have, she would call regularly, and I would answer the request line. Of course, I didn't know it was her calling, and she'd always say, "Will you play Alice Cooper for me?" And that led to inviting me over to her house at 6 in the morning when I got off shift. She was going to make me breakfast, and that ended up with her buying a couple of Avon red wine glasses. You ever seen those? They're worth some money today. They're little, you know, petite red glass glasses. And you get them from Avon. Anyhow, she would serve wine, cheap wine at that, try to get me drunk, and would to this day, bless her heart, she would remind me, as she has over the years, I'm the one that got away. Anyhow, she became a great listener, a great longtime friend. I think we can all agree we've met some neat people that we would have never met had it not been for our connection with the public, with the real world. And you know, those stories continue on and will remain, you know, certainly in my heart and mind. You know, some people, like you said, Randy, you know, some names, first names, maybe last names, just come to mind and you go, gosh. You know, that was a great connection that I made back then, and I'm grateful for it.
One of the constant winners at KTAC, maybe you'll recognize this name, Bruce Cannon often announced her name as a winner, Mary Jo Church. Do you remember that?
I think I went to church a couple of times.
Oh, Polly. Oh, yeah. Oh, do tell.
Oh, but Michelle was a gem. Ron Harris, Rockin' Ron Harris, could probably tell a great story about that, but I will not incriminate him. But Jim Wilhite, I want to incriminate you. Nick Scott, I want to incriminate you. You too?
Paul,
not you.
Hold on.
Does he have a story that I don't remember?
Oh, no, hold on. This is a kind of a jumping off point, if I can say, because you ever seen the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Do you remember the character Damone, mover and shaker, That was Charlie Mitchell in the morning. Charlie could talk the pants off a nun. Charlie could talk you out of your last joint and convince you to go to Anjo's Quick Stop and buy him old-fashioned donuts and some no-dos. And you, Nick, and Charlie were roommates at one time. And, Paul, you and Charlie.
We were too, yeah.
We're very close. So
we actually were roommates, too, with Joe Basil.
Yeah.
Can you imagine on $201 every 2 weeks with a car payment and a rent check that your co-worker and roommate would just force you into going to get old-fashioned donuts? And the box back in the day was about $1.29, and then a box of no-dos because he'd been up all night.
And the Marks. The Marlboro.
Oh, yeah. And then he'd have me get him a pack of cigarettes, too, out of my $201.
And Charlie would be showing up like at 6:02 on a regular basis, right, guys?
Well, he would oftentimes, when for some reason he didn't want to drive or didn't have his car or ran out of gas or whatever the case, he'd call me at about 5:30 in the morning and ask me to come get him. Well, I'm on the air. So I'd pull from the back stack in the back room, Paul, the vinyl. I'd pull, you remember this one, I'd pull the 25-minute version of Get Ready by Rare Earth.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, or Bon, 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 I'm on the Autobahn.
Yeah, and so I had my car running in the parking lot, hit go on the vinyl, somehow figured out when I had to be back to the station when the song ran out, and I'd run, oh, gosh, how far? 5 minutes? 6, 7 minutes? 2 miles? Yeah. But then I'd get outside and I'd honk my horn and I'd tell Charlie, be ready. You know, I've got a record that's going to run out. The radio station's on autopilot, right? Yeah. Doors unlock. Nobody's inside. Rare Earth, Get Ready is playing live on the radio. And so I go up and I pull up in front of our apartment complex and Charlie's not ready. He comes out on the upper deck. We lived on the third floor. And he makes known that he knows I'm there, and he smiles down at me, and he knows damn well my record's about ready to run out. And he's just taking his own sweet time. So he finally comes down, gets in the car. I peel rubber out of there. Luckily, I didn't get pulled over on the way back to the station. Pull into the parking lot, put it into park. Come to a screaming stop, put it into park. Run into the radio station with about a minute left on that vinyl.
Right. I did the same thing in Texas at a small station. I think it was a Saturday. Put on the record, got out the door downstairs, got in my car, drove across the railroad tracks. Luckily, there was no train coming. Got home, did what I had to do, got back to the station. Same type of story. That was a great little radio station. I don't know why Lee Perkins pushed me to Texas instead of out on the coast, but the owner looked like Don Knotts. Skinny guy, kind of shaky. And one Sunday, I was working the board, and we were moving from a church service to the Dallas Cowboys game. Now, I was a young kid, and I thought, what's more important? They're clashing here. The church service isn't ending, and the Dallas Cowboys game is coming on. What do Texans really want to hear? And I thought, the Cowboys game. So I flip the switch, Cowboys game comes on, and the phone line lights up, and people start complaining. I'm in Texas. I don't realize, because I'm from Washington, that the church service in that small town actually meant more than the Dallas Cowboys game. 20 minutes later, the owner walks in, and the owner is standing there shaking like Don Knotts, and he's angry, and the veins in his forehead are sticking out, and he's giving me hell. And educating me on what's more important. And I was a young kid, and I was hot-headed, and I knew more than he did about how to run a radio station. And I told him at that time what he could do with his radio station. And I'm not sure if I was fired or I quit that day, but
I've got to mention, Jason, while you're on the Dallas Cowboys, we had a guy at KXRO when I went over there. Pat was his name. He was the afternoon newsman. He was from the Dallas area. Pat was a fanatic Dallas Cowboy fan. And I don't know Pat's last name. And if you know, you remember his last name? Randy, you remember his last name?
Foss.
Pat Foss. So, Pat, okay, Pat was the afternoon newsman. I had another guy, Milt, was – Milt, actually, Milt. Milt was a newsman, and Milt was Mormon, and you could not drink coffee in the morning. When I first came to KXRO, I came from KGHO, and that's a whole nother story, why I left KGHO, because I was pissed. But anyway, he loved the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. I mean, from midnight, Saturday night when it turned to midnight, he would lock his door, and you could – it would be a shrine inside his house. It was everything Tom Landry, Dallas Cowboys, and I'll tell you what, he let me in one time, and I could not I could hardly breathe, by the way. But I'm like, Pat, can I cheer when the Cowboys score? Yeah, you can do that. Well, so what happened is, Pat, one time we're there, I'm getting excited. I think it was my team, the Seahawks, and I could not cheer for the Seahawks. This is the one time I'm there. But they scored, they won the game, and Pat never let me inside his house again. Not only that, but I think Pat, he popped about five veins in his forehead, in his neck. Anyway, poor Pat. I don't know if he's out there. Pat, love you. I also took him to the hydroplane races, and he's like, what's this crap? But we that lived here, this is like our Super Bowl, our everything, our World Series. Pat Foss.
All right, Paul, slow your roll a little bit because you're already to KXRO.
I know.
We got to go back to KGHO.
What are you talking about?
And
we got to talk about the once famous, not infamous, once famous, oh, I forget how long, it was months, news director at the Top 40 station. You know they had a news director there, Paul?
Who was that?
They had a news director.
Well, you're going to have to tell me who that was.
Well, think back. Give it a moment. May not have been your time, during your time because it was during my second return when I did weekends at KGHO.
There you go. Okay,
I've left and done some other things and came back. And there was a news director on board. And I was doing a Saturday or Sunday gig, just a weekend gig there at KGHO and loved it. And the news guy came in and wanted to be my news voice on the air.
You like to have somebody doing
yeah.
And I thought, we'd always do the news when we got off the air.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a rock and roll DJ, and I got a newsman on the weekends? Got to be kidding me, right? Yeah. Who cares about what's going on in town other than the music we're playing, right? Well, this guy's got a story to tell. And so we get together, and we talk about what happened overnight, and it was that the Aberdeen PD had just gotten a couple of arrests, a couple of people in the county jail, and it was all over pot. And this is, you know, certainly before, you know, pot became legal, way back when it was totally, you know, forbidden object. And so there was an arrest made of some people and some pot seized and whatnot. So we wrote up a little news story and put it on the air. And at the end of the news story, I come on. And again, I got to tell you, my out on this is I was young, innocent, and stupid. So I'm on the air, and the news story ends about the pot bust and the arrest, and I go, so what'd the cops do with the pot? I wonder if they'll share. And the news guy responds, and of course then we go, we just go on our weekend. Well, Monday morning rolls around, and the news guy gets a phone call from the Aberdeen City Police Chief, Bill Ellis called the news director and asked, what the hell are you guys talking about on the air? Again, this is a radio station that everybody's listening to. And we're all sitting here going, I'm not even there anymore. I'm off on my other job during the week. But the news director gets in touch with me and says, hey, the police chief just called us, wanted to know why we insinuated that the cops would share pot that they seized in a drug bust. So the news director called me up and told me the story and, gave me a little bit of a riot act on the thing and called the chief back and as I recall, told the chief that he had dealt with the issue and had reprimanded the employee, which was me. And the news director was
Randy Rhodes.
No way.
Bill Ellis right. calls me Monday morning, and I said, all right. Bill, all the parties involved have been reprimanded. There's no need to go any further.
All right, so true confession here.
Are you serious?
You did yours. I'm going to come out, and it's...
Paul, the statute is up anyway.
I'm there in 1975, and I'm brand new there. And this and the good guy's name
how
actually...
Much money? How much were you making?
About $250 an hour, if that. it was crap. But Ernie Winnenkoll, anyway, I'll talk about him. I could do a whole thing
okay,
on
so
Ernie. Yeah. Oh, generous Ernie.
So
Winnicle.
Ernie's
yeah.
the station owner. He's owned the
actually,
station.
He got me over to his house quite often with Betty, and we'd have dinner there, and probably the clams that I dug to make sure that he had many limits. That's another story. Listen, when I first got there, I was on the air, and let me just mention something. Stan Forman, thank you. God bless you. Stan Forman hired me. The day I got there, Stan Forman left. Was it something? And by the way, so Stan Forman left, and I was hired there. It was a weird deal. But back to being on the air, a guy, a kid that said, hey, let me show you around town. He was smoking pot, comes in. Hey, you want to smoke something? No, thank you. No, I don't really smoke pot. I haven't done that. And I was, when I first got there, I'm not going to smoke. Well, the guy says, hey, I want to take you around and show you everything. You're brand new here. And I'm like, okay, whatever it takes. Sure, show me around. So we go flying around. This guy is freaking hopped up. Maybe it wasn't just pot, but he had a bag on him. He says, hey, man, I'm going to roll one. I'm like, okay. He's got a whole bag of pot. Okay, so I drive with him in his thing. We're going around looking at everything in town. Next thing you know, we're up into the hills of Aberdeen, and what happens? A cop gets right behind us, and he's like, oh, my God, there's a cop right behind us.
Don't look back.
No. What's the guy do? He freaking floors it. Next thing you know, we're crashing into a freaking tree, and guess who's getting arrested? Yours truly. I just arrived, and Ernie Winnenkoll calls me the next morning, so they take me in. I had never had handcuffs on. They handcuff me. I'm sober. I've got nothing. You know. By the way, can we get another picture? So, listen. I'm in that car. They arrest the guy. The guy. I don't know if he ruined his truck, but he just hit a small tree that, the engine was pretty much ruined. Anyway, so we're down in the Aberdeen Police Department, and I'm like, who are you? I'm Paul Thompson. I just arrived here. This is really embarrassing. They said, well, listen, this guy is a dealer, and we've dealt with him. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay, I'm going to prison. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't had anything. They said, listen, don't ever come in here again. Don't ever go out on these rides again. And I'm like, okay, yes, sir. And they said, you're free to go. I'm like, free to go? I'm only like 3 miles from here. Is that a problem?
I'm sitting here at the Cloverleaf Tavern with a bunch of criminals.
Yeah. Hey, listen, yet there's more, Jason. So, no, but anyway, on that one, I get released. But these guys know about the Colonial West. Who hasn't been to the Colonial West? Ralph Burgess, great place. We had trade there. They were like our partners at KGHO.
And the beautiful thing was that we would have our holiday parties there. Open bar. We're 18, 19. Generous Ernie Winnenkoll, our station owner. Carte blanche.
That's about the only thing we got. And
tequila sunrises like nonstop.
And I remember Richard Deese. You can't make... Oh, what was it? You can't make... Go ahead. You can do it.
You got to put the mic up to your mouth.
Okay. You can't make chicken.
Paul Mike
you can't
technique.
Make chicken out of chicken shit. That was just, and that's like that was our nice dinner. But anyway, so we had a trade there, and it was a great deal. I was down the road. I was selling time for KGHO. So I'm out after my shift, probably about midnight. I thought, hey, I'll go have a drink, wind down. So I meet this young lady who just, I'm just there having a drink, having a tequila sunrise, I think, and having a great time. And she said, you want to dance? I mean, how often does a girl, a beautiful girl, come up and ask you to dance? I'm like, well, yeah. So I end up dancing with her, and she said, hey, what are you doing here when it's about to close? I'm like, nothing. Well, come on over to my room. So I said, okay, come on over to my room.
They have the cabins.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the cabins, and there, and she's beautiful. Sorry if any of my, oh, I might be in trouble, but anyway, so I said, okay, I'm coming over. So I'm over there, we're having a couple of drinks. Next thing you know, bang, bang, bang on the door. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And she's, by the way, she has beautiful pictures on the wall, and I'm talking to her, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm an artist, I'm here to draw pictures of the ocean. And,
oh, man, and I know this deal.
Do you?
She invited you over for a scotch and sofa, didn't she?
Scotch and sofa. Well, listen, that's coming. So the guy comes in and says, hey, hi. Oh, that's my photographer who's helping me do all these things, and don't worry about it. I'm like, okay, so all right. Things evolved, and I'm not going to say what happened next. So anyway, the next day, and I talked to her, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm planting seeds. I'm growing marijuana out about 14 miles from Hoquiam. I planted some seeds, and I'm going to have quite a garden. She said, well, okay, Paul, can you take me there? I really want to see. I mean, she loved to smoke marijuana, and she was smoking marijuana. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll take you. So I get off my shift. We're driving out. It was like a Saturday. I get off at whatever, it's daylight. We're heading out to Hump Tulips. I love Hump Tulips, by the way. It's a you know.
I like the little Hump
Tulips. Yeah. Well, I like any Hump Tulips, though, but that's another story. So anyway, we're heading out there, and so we go out there.
I'm a Christian boy, and these references are going right over my head.
So we get out there, and I'm like, okay, my field is right over here, and she's with me. Not a damn thing grew down there. I, by the way, Grace Harbor is very wet, but it's not a good place to grow marijuana. And I think, by the way, I think it was Charlie Mitchell, Charlie White, and
Frank
his
White,
real name.
Frank White,
yeah.
Charlie in the morning, KGHO.
Yeah. But anyway, that was the one guy that I think gave me that. So anyway, long story short. On the way home, and she says, Paul, thanks for taking me out there. By the way, I work for the Washington State Patrol. And I'm
She's
with
an
the,
undercover agent.
I'm with the Drug Enforcement Agency. I'm like, oh, my God. So 3 months down the lane, and I'm like, oh, nice to meet you, Marcy. Thank you, and thanks for not arresting me. So anyway, 3 months later, you know, you guys probably knew I bought a house not far from the station. The thing was a big behemoth piece of crap.
It was like Hoquiam Avenue.
Yeah, and it had about seven rooms in it. So I had three roommates. So I'm one morning waking up with, I don't know who what the girl's name was. So anyway, and right across the way is my roommate. And all of a sudden I hear, hi, Paul. I'm like,
Marcy. Oh. Marcy. Have
with,
Marcy.
Yeah, with one of my roommates across the way. I'm like, oh. And these guys were just angels, let me tell you, when they weren't dealing cocaine. So anyway, anyway, she calls me later. Listen, I'm working your house. These guys are dealing cocaine. One of the guys in the back is going to get me a kilo. And I'm like, oh, my God. Anyway, long story short.
Too late.
Yeah, he didn't show up with a kilo. And she moved on. But Marcy, I love you. I don't know where you are, but she came back about 5 months later when she was there to testify against all these people that she'd sold drugs
God.
To. That had, yeah. Yeah, she was a narcotics agent for the Washington State Patrol. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm still doing the nighttime shift. It may have been.
What kind of beer do you want?
The same thing.
Yeah.
Listen, what are you guys getting?
We're getting another pitcher of beer.
I'm not wearing like my. I'm not wearing my 101.5 logos, by the way, Kent. So listen, she calls me from the Red Lion. She says, "Hey, Paul, I'm on the night shift. Hey, Paul, I'm over here at the Red Lion. What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Marcy, you know, actually my major at Washington State was criminal justice." I said, "Marcy, probably not a good idea that I come hang out with you, but Paul, I need you."
Cyprus.
I'm not going to go on from there. But, yeah, Marcy was really cool. Marcy was a beautiful girl, and she did great work for Washington State. That's all I got to say.
Again, these stories are making me red-faced, but speaking of good Christians, Nick was telling me about the project that he works on a regular basis. Other than being news director at KELA, you
had... Here goes my phone, Jason. Somebody must have heard this. Oh, no. It's not true.
I work for a Southern California media company that is a faith-based company.
We're doing
so, you know, we all grow up. We all understand what values are. We all, right. all understand that, you know, we've made missteps and they're funny stories.
Right.
And you kind of improve upon that. So, yeah, do that as well. And just a variety of things from voiceover work to producing radio programs to, you know, representing people that are in business development themselves. And it's very enriching.
Is that something we would hear up here on any radio station? No.
No, it's done around the country.
Oh, I apologize.
The world, actually.
I apologize. That was Marcy. I don't know how the hell the Washington State Patrol.
How did that happen?
Randy, if you can take a few moments away from the pizza, you mentioned Buzz Barr, and he's got quite a history there in the KGHO area.
Buzz was basically my proxy father. I got to meet Buzz. I was living in Raymond, going to high school in Raymond, 30 miles from Grace Harbor. And a mutual friend of Paul's, Nick's, and mine, Joe Basil, he went by Andy Clay on KGHO. Remember that, Pauly?
A legend in his own mind.
A legend in his spare time. That's right. So Basil says, "You know what? This guy's manager over at KGHO. And his name's Buzz Barr." And I had heard of Buzz, you know, a little bit. KJR, King in Seattle, Kissin' in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went over. I called him. He met me there on a Saturday. And I'll tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday. I literally do. Richard D. was on the air on a Saturday with his large coffee cup in front of him. It had a Rainier emblem on it. So Buzz takes me back to the prod room. I've been around stations a little bit. And he says, "Well, here's the turntables. It comes on this volume on the mixer. These are carts. This is for the cart machines. You can just come in here and practice anytime you want to." So there was like this huge 16-inch reel-to-reel. So he says, "String this up, record, practice on this. I'll listen to it once in a while." So that was the beginning of a very close relationship with Buzz, to the point where every Father's Day, he may not get a Father's Day card from his son, who was a college buddy of mine, Barry. But Buzz says, "You know what, kid?" He would always say, "Let me tell you something, kid. Let me tell you a story, kid. My own son doesn't send me a Father's Day card. I get one every year from you." And it made me feel so good. He was such an important part of my life. The one thing, though, the first time that he took me into the prod room at KG, Daneker, Richard D's looking down his nose at me because I have carte blanche. Buzz says, "Hey, come on anytime you want. Door's unlocked. Come in and practice anytime you want." And Buzz says, "Let me tell you something, kid. The thing about radio is," and I didn't know quite how to take this. He says, "The thing about radio, it doesn't matter what you look like. You can sound like a million bucks." And I'm like,
true.
What's he saying about me? Or, you know, do I have a face for radio or what?
True. There's not a handsome face at this table, I can tell you that. But I think everybody's had one person at least that helped them in their career.
Oh, definitely my mentor, with hands down.
Yeah. And what was what did Buzz do after KGHO?
Well, Buzz got into a couple of stations in Soldotna, Alaska. And after that, he came back to the harbor. I know he worked for KXRO KDUX for a while on the south side. Did a little work for Bill Wolfenbarger at Jodesha Broadcasting. And then he had his own agency, Buzz Bar Agency. Mm-hmm. And that was in the
Becker
Building. Where it used to be, the lounge in there was called the Press Box Lounge. And old Ray Ryan, the sports editor from the Wenatchee World, run him into there. But, you know, when he passed, he had the agency going on. And, yeah.
Now, was it advertising alone or voiceovers also?
It was basically advertising for local clients over there on the harbor. Yeah. Car dealers, people that he's known for years, decades, you know.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I can mention Robert O. Smith as being someone that helped me out with air checks.
Yeah, Robert O., man.
Yeah. So,
ATAC, KOL.
Awesome.
Talk to us about him.
Yeah, we talked about him, about being just multiple voices. And in fact, Tom Murphy and I talked about him and said, Robert O. Smith, was it Robert O. Smith or was it Walter Wart, or was it all the multiple
Alfred Hitchcock?
This guy had more personalities. Yeah. If there was ever a person that had multiple personalities, if we go into that just for a moment, it was amazing. But you tell me about him.
Well, I wasn't fearless. I think I was intimidated by the DJs at the time. I would go up to KTAC and look through the window, watch them. And I went to KTNT when it was, I believe, in the basement up there on Grant Street. Yeah.
But do you remember those discos?
I'm going to mention one thing that happened. So, and there was one kid that would always start fights. I don't know who the hell that kid was. It wasn't you. But
no,
there was a kid
I was
that
one
would,
of the stars
get in a fight.
There.
He was a tough kid. But I got a backstory on that. So anyway, yes, and every time we do this damn thing, and listen, we bought, and supposedly we bought Santana's extra equipment. That's what it was. And we had this one amp that was probably about 1,000 watt, but it was one of those giant amps that didn't have a fan that would overheat all the time. Right in the middle, we had probably 600 screaming kids. And I'm sure Kurt Cobain was in there, too. They're sweating their ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, wait. Let me ask you something, Elisa. She has been at the Cloverleaf for over 18 years. How many years have you seen me coming in here?
Once today.
15 at least.
No, 18. I came here. I used to do KPLZ shows right here, road shows right out here in Tacoma. Every time I do it, we would come in here. If I was over in Aberdeen, over in Bremerton or on the peninsula, we would come here. You would be the one that would put up with me. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And by the way, so listen, what is this that we're having?
Sausage, mushroom, and olive.
Sausage, mushroom, and olive. Can I tell you something?
Awesome.
This is the exact meal that Rob Sherwood, who worked at KTAC, KDWB, he was program director in San Francisco. We'd come in here, and that's exactly what he would have every single time. He lived right by here. He was in love with this, and we would hang out. And I don't – was that you that was always giving all those great meals to us?
Yes, absolutely.
It was her. Yeah, it was back in – it was 1985, 86.
Paul's
Thank you, Elisa.
Paul.
By the way, and the Cloverleaf is – how many years has the Cloverleaf been here? It's incredible. 1950. Oh, my God. And can you guys give me the secret to the pizza?
You've got a great mind.
She just
Paul.
Left us.
You got a great memory, Paul.
She just left us. Uh-oh, she just gave me the no way can I give you that. So go ahead.
It's the crust that is like awesome.
So we're talking about the KGHO Boogie Down Disco Company.
Right, and Paul, you had to do the promos for each gig that was coming up,
I did
right?
it all the time, but let me tell you about this kid. So this kid that would get in fights everywhere. We had problems. He came everywhere. And I don't know what your name is, dude. But finally, Rick Burgess brought So You Think You're Tough to the stadium, the Grace Harbor Stadium
Stadium.
Yeah, which, by the way, Bill Murray played baseball in. And Ron Erich saw him. And Ron Erich talked to him. And Ron Erich is actually who was on the air before I came in tonight at KGHO. Ron Erich, Ron Mercer, Ron Hoon. Not Ron Hoon. Ron Hoon's in Arizona.
The governor.
Anyway. So finally.
When he was at Croy in Sacto, he went by the governor. Doing afternoons.
You know what?
3 o'clock, the governor.
The governor is.
KROI Sacramento.
The governor is the man. I'll tell you that. The governor is the man. So long story short, this kid was one of the guys. He beat up a couple of guys. In the third one that Rick Burgess put on, he got absolutely devastated. Grays Harbor Hospital, he might still be in a coma. But this kid was tough. And he would interrupt all of our dances. And I have to go on and say, listen, you people, let's get along. Get together now. That was by the Youngbloods, by the way. Yeah, and I would sing that song, Jason.
Now, we are talking about the same person, though. Ron Erickson, Ron Hoon, one and the same.
On
right?
That one, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Ron Erickson. Oh, yeah. No, Erickson. They're different.
But
they're
Ron
different
Hoon's
people.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you've got to get him on your
Listen, Ron Hoon came over to KJR when I was a request line operator. He was going to University of Washington. I showed him around the place. I gave the guys, put some money in his pocket, and set him up with a couple of girls. And he loves me. And he recommended me for my first gig from KJR being a request. And this is bullshit. But Ron, anyway, he was doing he was doing weekends in Wenatchee. And I just posted on your website about my time in Wenatchee and how I just caused a lot of trouble. And I'm sorry, Wenatchee, how I upset the apple cart.
Well, Erickson drove the Star Tracker van.
Right, he had nighttime with concerts in the dark.
Right, then many years later, he went to Fox 10 in Phoenix doing gangbusters down there. Great team. Oh, yeah. You've got to get him on your
He's
podcast.
He's still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we're best friends. I don't know why you won't return my messages, but I thought we were best friends.
Well, you're down there once.
I am down there a lot.
You should stop in.
I'm going to have to stop there and probably be a groupie.
So, Jason, was he in Phoenix when you were there?
Yeah.
And what was the landscape of Phoenix radio? What was the era that you were there?
I was in Mesa, Phoenix. It's all one down there.
So it was
cool.
What
did you say? It's all one there?
Yeah,
it's a grid in Mesa and Phoenix and Tempe.
I spent a year in Mesa one summer.
Yeah, 112 degrees.
I was there for like the hottest time. I got there Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Left like October 30th, driving a Saab convertible. Bad news. You get out of the sweater, get out of the shower and start sweating right away.
Yeah.
But listen, on this Phoenix, you were there when Ron Erickson was doing the TV there.
Yeah, I went there in 93, and he was on the air, Fox 10, and I left in 2008. He's still there.
Now, you were there in 93 through 08?
Yeah.
So you have to know Guy Zapolian.
I know the name.
Okay. He was a heavy hitter, at least for a while, a program director there.
Yeah.
But what were, like, the at that time, the top hot stations in Phoenix?
KZZP was a big rocker down there.
That was like the Cube?
Yeah, a lot like the Cube. I think radio overall in Phoenix was better than Seattle, to be honest. I know we had our stars, but people would go to Phoenix on their way up. Now it's the opposite. Phoenix is a better market than Seattle, I believe.
Now,
radio's really hopping.
You might recognize the name Pat McMahon.
Oh, yeah. Pat McMahon goes way back. He had a kiddie show, much like J.P. Patches.
So would it be even remotely fair to say that Pat McMahon was sort of the Pat O'Day of Phoenix?
That too, yeah. He
was a hot jock in PD.
Yeah, he was a PD, much like Pat O'Day, good at bringing talent in to the station.
Chris.
And building a station. Oh, Chris, Crux, those two competed like KOL and KJR did. So Phoenix has been a hot market and remains that way today. I would still say it's more exciting than Seattle.
Jason, I take total exception to that, but that's okay. And listen, if it wasn't for Ron Hoon and his weather guy and the woman with him, that market, I think, on TV sucks. And let me tell you, Seattle kicks ass. Honest to gosh, I mean, I was listening to Phoenix and the landscape. When you put all our guys against those guys, we have the best up here.
I guess I need to agree or I'll be run out of town. But
and you're here. You're here. Honest to gosh. I mean, when I think of Buzz Lawrence and my other friend, Roy Otis, who is probably a megastar. Have you ever heard Roy Otis?
Oh, yeah. The air check?
Yes. What do you mean the air check?
The infamous air check?
That, no, no, not an air check.
Or just
he
as part of the program.
Man. I've been with Randy. Would you not agree that Roy Otis is probably one of the best talents to ever? Better than Larry Lujack, better than Howard Stern.
He has a great voice.
Better than Paul Thompson.
Oh,
yeah, much better voice than me. But I'll tell you what, and if we can get him on the podcast,
you've got to.
We'll be blessed. And another guy. Let me tell you, one other guy.
Okay. Pat Cashman.
Pat Cashman. But Chris is fabulous, too. Chris is on Channel 5 now. Sluggy Boy. No, he's still there. Sluggy Boy.
You brought up Lujack. KJR 66. Before that, KJRB. And we all know what kind of a path he made for himself in Chicago at WLS. So, there was a guy named Al Dale, Al Reidman. I had just gotten my first gig out of radio school.
I love Al, by the way.
KBKW in Aberdeen. Doing part-time. So I got to fill in for Randy Keith one day on KBKW, the afternoon guy. Remember Keith? So Al goes, you know what? When you're on the air at KBKW, you ought to call up Richard D. and tell him now he's got some competition.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 18. I go beep, 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 533-5446, KGHO, KGHO. Hey, Richard, this is Randy Rhodes. I'm over here doing afternoons at KBKW. I just wanted to let you know you got some competition now. He goes, nobody calls me and says that unless it's Larry Lujack.
Super Jock Chicago. And that's actually where I was born. So that's why you guys, now you guys know the rest of the story.
What are you, Paul Harvey over here?
Actually, I've been in the LS studios, too. I just want to mention it. Yeah, I have. And sat in Paul Harvey's chair, met Paul Harvey, met Fred Winston. Steve Perrin, who is a friend of Rob Sherwood, whose pizza we're eating right now, who loved this pizza.
All right, Rob, Sherwood.
Yeah, yeah. And K101, by the way, San Francisco, Ken Copper. He knows it. Best friends. That's who brought him to KTAC.
Well, he was Dr. Don's board op.
Well, no, that was that was Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, Rob lived
down. Oh, there's so many different stories, and it's so much fun. All in earnest, you know, good taste.
Now, but, are you putting on that voice? Because I know that when I used to get together with a few of my friends, we would sit around and chat.
I haven't plugged my ear yet with my index finger.
Haven't cupped your ear. I know that I met with a group of buddies one time, and my wife was along with us down on the waterfront in Tacoma. And as we were driving home, she was laughing. I said, "What's so funny?" And she said, "Well, you were all sitting around using your radio voices." We didn't try to do it. It's just that we got together and.
For those that have come, alongside me, before me, and certainly after, radio has been a fun journey, and I remember back as a freshman in junior high, ninth grader, filling out a form where I wanted to be a sportscaster. And that's what got me into radio. I went to Voc Tech School at Clover Park in Lakewood, Washington, and took my first job as part of that course doing weekends, which was one day a week, playing religious programming and whatnot, and playing 1 hour of country music on the old KMO. And I thank Don Chapman, who was the program manager at the time there, and he brought me on and gave me the first job in commercial radio. And then I went to KUPY in Puyallup, 1450, and worked for Bud Blair, God rest his soul. He'd be the guy that would whistle in the teletype room while I was doing the 5 o'clock news. And he'd come up and he'd smile at me because he knew damn well that he was interrupting my news because we ran the teletype sound in the backdrop. Yeah. We had a live mic in the teletype room.
Yeah.
And he'd go in there and whistle Dixie and then come and laugh at me. And remember, he's the owner of the radio station. So kind of took off from there. And, like all of us, 40 years, give or take a few. And at about 50 different locations, right? We've stopped and played radio in more towns than we've been in the business, years in the business.
As we close this segment of the conference call,
yes, don't close it yet. I just want to mention the best PD that I've ever worked for.
And well, thank you, Paul.
And I never worked for you, but honest to gosh, Ken Phillips, there is no better PD or person you could ever play with.
Kent, why did you never hire me at 106.7 Magic 107 in Portland?
Did he have a chance to hire
Kent,
you?
Yes.
When?
Kent, you should have hired me.
At Magic in Portland?
Yes. He interviewed me and gave me the tour. And
I didn't know that he was a PD there.
I think he ended up hiring some chick.
I think Jeff, somebody. But anyway, long story short, Kent Phillips is by far and away the best PD. And I'll tell you, the best GM, Harold Greenberg. The best sales manager, Gary Greenberg. Best guys you'll ever work for. And the best, most successful people you ever work for that'll make the station. That's why we have longevity, because of Gary Greenberg and at KTAC. Harold Greenberg, and there's bad things said about them, but I'll tell you what, I will say nothing but good things. Harold Greenberg was wonderful, and that guy put in the effort. He made the connections. He made it happen. It wouldn't have happened without him.
He did fire Don Wade, you know.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, so, and I love Don Wade, by the way. Don Wade was great, but Don Wade swore in the air. Don Wade was getting a lot of stuff. And, that's where that station crumbled. But you know what? He also gave birth to KBRD, which was number one in the market. And, in fact, I just sent a thing to Steve Cebulski saying how our combination was like an 8.9 share when that's 12-plus. And so hats off to Harold Greenberg. The man was relentless. He was tireless. And he was wonderful. And I work for his son now. And his son, I love him. In fact, everybody I work with. And let me mention one other guy that's amazing, that's been in that station forever. Leonard Baroukas, the best frickin' producer of a morning show you'll ever be with. The guy he comes in 3 a.m. He's the last guy to leave. It's like, he's like Russell Wilson here in the Northwest. He does it all. And you guys probably have never heard of him. That's by design. He's on the morning show, but he's been in the market and being a morning producer for over 30 years. I think it's probably 35 years. Was it Cube? Did it there too. We got so much, and actually, Randy, we have so much to do and talking to people, and it's not about us, by the way.
Yeah. I got to say, for my growth and my fun, and for my being who I am today, I got to give thanks to the SOB, sweet old Bill, I got to give thanks to the SOBB, sweet old boss Bill. And I got to give thanks to another guy that allowed me to step up in the industry at his expense.
Me?
I took a job. I took a job.
No, I'm kidding.
Paul, I took a job only to find out that I got hired when the next day he got fired.
1986. Aberdeen, I'm doing mornings on the Rock of the Coast, KDUX. Finally, my buddy Nick gets hired at the station by Steve Levold, the general manager. Finally, we get to do a show together. Me and my buddy, I'm the morning DJ, he's the news guy. One day, and I was letting him stay on the floor at my apartment, my townhouse behind the South Shore Mall.
You bastard.
Yeah. Next day, Reese Davis comes in and Rhodes, Levold wants to talk to you. All right, go back there. Rhodes, we got to let you go.
Harsh.
Cutting expenses. I get on the phone. I have at least a part-time gig a half hour later in Longview for Derek Shannon and Bobby Hart at KLYK. But we got to do closing comments, Paul. There's 5 minutes.
Listen, Reese Davis, I was the first to find out from Reese Davis's fabulous interview by you, by the way, that I was fired because I went on a vacation in Hawaii and Doug McDowell took my place. That was the first time I'd ever known that.
I know, Paul.
Yeah, and oh, he missed.
Closing comments.
Paul Thompson, actually, what happened is, the real story is, Paul Thompson met Rick Hansen. Actually, I knew Rick Hansen. Jeffries, they hired me to KTAC, and I went up with Bruce Cannon. It wasn't that I got fired on vacation. In fact, what happened on my vacation, the beginning, I got put
closing
in jail.
Closing comments.
Hey, wait.
4 minutes.
I got put in jail. What happened at the fountain?
Paul went to the City of Aberdeen fountain in front of City Hall.
And I was dressed.
And he poured Mr. Bubble.
No, I didn't do it. Doug McDowell did it. I was dressed and I had a big cape on. I had a little thing of flowers around my head. And I was trying to stop the volcano in Hawaii at the time that was just going to devastate Hawaii. And I was out to save the state of Hawaii, the 50th state. Listen.
Wrap it.
Listen, you know this. And what happened? I was in the fountain, the Aberdeen fountain. And do you know what happened, Randy?
Were you naked?
Pretty much. I took my clothes off. I was dangling my deal,
oh my God,
and all of a sudden everything turned green.
It was about that time that the battery on the laptop completely ran out. I thought I had plugged it into an AC outlet at the Cloverleaf. I did plug it into an AC outlet. Come to find out, it wasn't even activated. That's where the story ends. Part two? Who knows? Maybe someday. Thanks for listening. 4 radio guys walk into a bar.